Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If they don't like it, I don't really give a
Yeah! Go, Ricky, go. White Sox Twitter enraged today over a White Sox 7-1 loss to the Indians. Well, get to Bruce Levine out at Guaranteed Rate Field here in just a little bit. I'm Mark Grody, here with you until 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 to score some breaking news. The Vegas Knights have beaten the Colorado Avalanche 4-3 in overtime. That means the Blackhawks will play Vegas in a best-of-7 first-round playoff series. Dates and times to be determined. We will continue to scan and wait and watch and hopefully see what the schedule is before I'm out of here at 6 o'clock on the score. That is the Robin Leonard Vegas Knights, the guy who, when they traded him, to me, that had been the Blackhawks raising the white flag and saying, yeah, we're good. We're good for the rest of the season. And then magic occurred for the Blackhawks in that they were still allowed to be in the playoffs, even though they really shouldn't have been in the playoffs. And so far, they have made the most of it. But yeah, it'll be Robin Leonard in net for the Vegas Knights against the Chicago Blackhawks. And we talked to Steve Conroy earlier, the former Blackhawks defenseman and current hockey analyst at NBC Sports Chicago. And he told me, he said, Groats, you don't want to see the Blackhawks play Colorado because they are just so good. He said, not that Vegas is bad by any means. They are very talented too. But he thought that at least the better matchup, doesn't mean the Hawks are going to win, but the better matchup at this point would be Blackhawks and Vegas Knights, and it has come to pass. So some really good storylines in that, and let the fun continue for the Chicago Blackhawks. The White Sox, again, lost to Cleveland, 7-1 the final today. Our Bruce Levine was at Guaranteed Rate Field watching the game, and now he joins us live here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brewster, what happened to the White Sox today?
They lost. Now back to you.
Here's Jordan Malley. Jordan? No, but I saw
they had a bullpen day today. The fifth starter spot kind of up in the air with Lopez and Rodon both down with injuries on the IL. So it was a planned bullpen today. Matt Foster called up from their team in Schaumburg, pitched two really good innings. Drew Anderson, who was also called up today, did not. He had a rough go. They beat him up pretty badly. He scored a bunch of runs, put a crooked number up, and that was basically the ball game. They ran up against Plesac today, and the Indians have outstanding starting pitching. And, Plesac is just one of the very good young pitchers they have. They're going to see Bieber tomorrow against
Giolito,
their ace. So with that in mind, I would say for the first time that the White Sox are going to be on a national TV ESPN game in 7 years and 3 months, it should be really fun watching Giolito go against Bieber.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. I am definitely looking forward to that. And yeah, good for the White Sox. Too bad, as we say so many times this year, too bad there will be no fans in the stands. But that's cool, man. It's cool for the White Sox.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, you got some news for us there, Bruce? Are there going to be a few fans in the stands?
Well, I saw some people. They looked like people, but they weren't inanimate. So I don't know if they were people or not.
Well, I know that you will investigate. If I know you, if I know anything about Bruce Levine,
they were kind of stiff. I can tell you that much.
That's very true. That is very. There are so many directions that I can go right now, but I'm not. I'm a professional. I don't color outside of the
lines. I don't
think
you are, because you heard the word stiff, and that was it. You lost it.
The fact that you knew where I was going with that says
I know
about
you. You know? I mean,
yeah, I know.
How many years? 15? How many years have you been
like
doing
this now? Something like that. You know what, Bruce, I miss you and dining
Call
with you
Bruce
in Arizona.
Call me Bruce if you want. Yeah.
Bruce Brisket. Yes, a delicious brisket with Bruce. So anyway, our fearless leader, the executive producer of all executive producers, Mitch Rosen, he texted me today, and he said that White Sox Twitter was all enraged and upset that they put Drew Anderson out there for a second inning, and he, of course, gives up the 6 runs and a couple of home runs. Was that a mistake by Ricky Renteria?
No, the plan was for him to go 3 or 4.
Ooh. So he just kind of stuck
you know,
with
again,
it, no
when,
matter what?
When you have a bull, you know, Mark, when you have a bullpen game planned, you know, you wanted to get a couple innings out of Foster, and then they thought Anderson was stretched out, you know, ready to go, and they were hoping for 3 or 4. It didn't materialize, and you cannot burn your entire bullpen for the next week here, you know, by a bullpen day. So he became the sacrificial lamb. The game was, you know, not going to be contended, and you let the, you know, Plesac go on and throw his beautiful game, and you're basically non-competitive the rest of the way. Ricky Renteria talked a little bit about how the offense has to do better, even against very good pitchers, because they're going to run up against very good pitching just about every night when you face Cleveland or Minnesota. So from that perspective, he did not give them a pass as far as the offense goes. The offense has been slumping a little bit. We know the White Sox offense is capable of doing some magical things, but you do have to also learn how to produce some runs, and the White Sox have been a little bit down on that. They did get Mazzara back in the lineup today. They did get Grandal back. Both of them were suffering with some left foot injuries that kept them out of yesterday's game, but it was just too much Plesac and not enough Chicago White Sox pitching to win that game.
And Mazzara and Grandal both had a hit in their respective returns to the lineup today for the White Sox. One pretty cool thing that Jason Badeni, Steve Stone did during the telecast today was they actually had Zach Birdie's parents on the phone. Birdie got into the game today. How did he do? That was I assume this was his major league debut.
It was, yeah, and it's been a long time coming for Zach Birdie from the Chicagoland area, and certainly a guy that's had some injury issues, you know, drafted number one by the White Sox with their first pick in 2016, and it was a very good debut. He came in, the first 3 pitches, Mark, were 99-mile-an-hour fastballs, threw a cutter and a slider after that at about 89, struck out 2 guys, gave up a hit, looked very good. Lots of promise here, and it's great when a Chicagoland person like Zach finally gets to the major leagues and has a really good showing. And with that arm, I mean, you know, 99, the breaking ball is something that he's worked on and developing. With any semblance of a good breaking ball and you got 99, you got an opportunity. He was in the strike zone today, so it was a very nice day from that perspective alone.
White Sox offense, we know that they'll probably snap out of it, but they've been a little bit slumpy offensively lately. Anything to that? Any rhyme or reason?
You know, again, they're just going to have to produce runs. Certainly they're missing Anderson out of the lineup. You know, he's on the IL. They expect him to be back, Mark, probably by Tuesday when they're facing Detroit, Monday or Tuesday. You know, so that's good news. But, you know, when you have your best offensive guy for batting average out and your leadoff man, Robert did a good job the few days that he was in there, but he's Ricky Renteria has dropped him down back to the 6 or 7 spot right now. And, you know, they're waiting for Anderson to return at this point. And hopefully they'll start firing on all cylinders with Mazzara and Grandal back in the lineup as well.
Yeah, Luis Robert today, 1-for-4, a couple more strikeouts. He had that 0-for-4 day the other day. So as you said, yeah, they did indeed drop him down in the lineup today. One more thing here, Bruce, and this is a little bit of a zoom-out question. With the Cardinals, with all their games having been postponed, they will have been 10 by the time this weekend is over. Mm-hmm. Is this season starting to – and I know that maybe it obviously was different from the beginning – has this season lost its credibility now? I mean, can it really be a credible season
in the
National League at this point?
I don't think you can just take a big dump on Major League Baseball that easily. I just don't think – I mean, there's 28 teams, 27 teams that are on schedule and have played the majority of their games. So I would say that the Cardinals season, you know, as far as how many games they can play and the credibility of that will be – pressed hard because of all the games that they have to make up. They've only played 5 games. Everybody else has played 14, you know, now on to 15. So they're going to have something like 30 games in 23 or 24 days. That means, you know, multiple doubleheaders. And that's going to be, even with the 7-inning doubleheader rule, it's going to press the credibility of what they were able to do out there. It's going to be tough on them as an organization, as a fan base, to see that happen. You know, it's a shame what's happened here with the pandemic, but the credibility of the game is still pretty good, and Major League Baseball and the teams, I can tell you the White Sox and Cubs have done a fantastic job of dealing with protocol properly, distancing the organization's people from top to bottom. I've done a sensational job. When I'm there as a reporter with the 10 or 12 other people, they make us feel nothing but at home and comfortable with the medical and safety issues that are there. So I think baseball has really done a great job considering what's going on in the country and all the positive tests. There's only 0.002% of the players have tested positive, over 55,000 tests. So I think they've done a good job. You know, when it hits one team, your question is valid, Mark. You know, when it hits one team and, you know, 14, 15 people go down, then you do have to worry about the schedule and the credibility of them being able to complete it. But Major League Baseball is going to go down swinging, so to speak. And, you know, if they can avoid other teams, and that's the key, other teams from going down with something like this, over the next 45 days or so, I think they got a chance to complete.
Brewster, it is always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for your time, and I will talk to you soon.
It's always a pleasure on my end as well, and it is always fun talking to you because you're not afraid to ask an intelligent question, which is the key to doing good radio, isn't it?
I would like to think so, Bruce, and I appreciate you saying that. And I'm sorry that you in the past may have had bad questions. It sounds like you've been traumatized by bad questions.
No, I'm just from you, but now you're doing good radio. Mark, have a great day. Thanks for having me.
See you, man. So that is Bruce Levine. You know, Bruce is great. You just never know when he's going to slide something in on you because he could be serious and fun and cantankerous, and then he just slide something in on you. You just got to be ready with Bruce Levine. So, again, the White Sox lose to the Indians 7-1 today, and a bullpen day, which is a thing that has only seemingly been allowed in baseball for about the last 5. I feel like Joe Maddon started the bullpen game thing, but it didn't go well. It did not go well for the White Sox today, other than the Yoan Moncada home run. We're seeing because he hit the hell out of the baseball. Longest home run that I've seen this year. He crushed it. And the White Sox play the Indians on Sunday Night Baseball. Bieber against Lucas Giolito tonight, so that'll be pretty cool to watch. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's focus on the Cubs. We will bring in Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Wrigley Stadium.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Everybody was good yesterday. I think everybody was like, okay, we'll just take it as players are, you know, if I go back to my playing days, like no matter what, you kind of welcome an off day, you know, in the middle of a long stretch. And so the first off day is always nice, relaxing. You know, they, when you're getting ready for a game and somebody tells you it's canceled, it's really easy to shut off that mental grind and that physical of where you might need to get your body ready. And, you know, talking through some things and how hard these guys have been playing, kind of giving the position players an extra day today.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I remember during my 3 years doing pre and post for the Cubs, there was nothing more beautiful than a day off on a crazy baseball schedule. It is different now, but they are always welcome in Major League Baseball. That's Cubs manager David Ross this morning after an optional workout for the Cubs at Wrigley Field. I'm Mark Grody back here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. A couple things here. Blackhawks will play Vegas in round one of the playoffs. A best of seven series, dates and times to be determined. That is because Robin Leonard and the Vegas Knights today beat Colorado 4-3 in overtime. That is the better matchup for the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks play Vegas, and that'll be fun. The whole Robin Leonard part is very interesting. The White Sox lost to the Indians 7-1 today, and the Cubs series postponed in St. Louis. All three games, the Cubs won't play again until Tuesday, scheduled to play in Cleveland that day. And let's talk more about the Chicago Cubs with the Deluxe One. He is Mark Gonzalez, the beat writer on the Cubs over at the Chicago Tribune. What's going on, Gonzo?
How are you, Mr. Grody?
I am doing quite well, sir, and we have learned here at The Score how to adjust our lives without Cubs baseball for, you know, nearly three quarters of the season. And here we go again, another 3 days off for the Cubs, but I guess, you know, it's not a bad deal for the Cubs. I mean, they're sitting pretty. They could feel good about themselves and take some days off, I guess.
Well, I think you also want to stay in rhythm, too, with the exception of Thursday's game. They're playing pretty well. They were in sync. You want to keep that momentum going. I guess, you know, tomorrow having a simulated game helps, you know, ratchet up the intensity. But like David Ross said, there's nothing like, you know, playing a team in a different uniform that can get the intensity, you know, at full tilt. So, you know, there's nothing you can really do with the 3 days off and the scheduled day off. But, you know, it behooves them to really ratchet things up tomorrow just to not lose that feel. And I think they've been pretty good at that this point as far as bringing it every game. So they should be fine.
What do you think about the way the rest of the season is going to play out? And I asked this to Bruce, is the credibility kind of dented now in the National League, in the National League Central, with the Cardinals having to make up 10 games? Is the balance suddenly unfair because of what's happened to the Cardinals?
No, there's certainly an asterisk there. And, you know, I thought the Cardinals were best equipped to win this division just based on the pitching in a short season. But, you know, given what's happened to them, you really do have to raise the question as far as what's fair if you're a fan. You know, the players, teams, they can really do nothing about it except play the games when they're scheduled. But big picture-wise, it's definitely going to throw a kink into the grand scheme of things. And I think at some point, somebody from New York's going to have to say, okay, in order to make the playoffs, you have to play X amount of games to have this winning percentage that qualifies you for the playoffs. Because there's going to be an imbalance no matter what. I just think it'd be crazy to see the Cardinals make up these games, especially not only just with the threat of positive tests, but also the weather. I mean, the Cubs have had a game rained out already. They're going to make up. So if you have those two factors, and it looks kind of ominous to see if all 30 teams can play a 60-game schedule.
Yeah, man, because there's no way at this point that they're going to cancel a season. If they were going to do that, they would have done that when the Marlins erupted with all the positive tests. If they were going to do that, they would have done it again when the Cardinals came up with all the positive tests. At this point, you're right, they got to put some kind of print or limit to the season or different boundaries to the season to figure out what's real. I mean, I guess the long question is, do you agree with me? There's no way at this point, barring something super dramatic, that they're going to cut this season off, that they're going to come out and say, you know what, we're scrapping it.
I can't see it unless there's a rash of positive tests that affects more than two teams. And, you know, and I think we're forgetting, too, that there's a lot of money at stake with the playoffs, and that's where the owners cash in. So keep that in mind, because that's what they've been waiting for, especially during this pandemic and all the revenue lost.
Talking to Mark Gonzalez, covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. Have we seen the last of Craig Kimbrell now in high leverage?
I still think there's a chance. If it's a normal 60-game season, we might see him back there. But I think everybody's in agreement. He's got a lot of work to do. And I think the first step, and he did have some success, was getting the Royals to chase his curve. Got to see more of that. And there's got to be opportunities where he can work in that in low-leverage situations. I think Jeremy Jeffers has closing experience. I think he's best served right now in a setup role, but if you got to use him to close games, he's done a good job already in limited situations. I'd like to see the velocity come up a little more, but he's done a good job at this point. I think Rowan Wick is also a guy with closer stuff, but it'd be asking a lot of him to do it on a full-time basis. So I think it reverts back to Kimbrel and getting him straight, getting them to throw the curve over for strikes more and have those hitters chase it, at least respect it, and then we'll see from there. You know, his velocity, you know, it might be down a tick, but, you know, if he's throwing that curve for strikes, it makes him tough again.
And I know Kyle Ryan has had a save as well, and this, the three-batter minimum, it is coming into play now for the Cubs, and I like the rule, but David Ross can't play mix and match now in the ninth inning. Is that something that has come up with David Ross at all?
He's aware of the rule, and, you know, I think it haunted them in the loss to Cincinnati, where there was a lefty, I believe it was Rex Brothers. There was a discrepancy over pitch selection, and guy got on base, and the hope was that they retire him. I think they had two strikes on him. He walked or got hit by a pitch, and then the intent was to walk the next guy, which I believe was a right-hander, in Castellanos, to get to a lefty. That's pretty much how you navigate through the three-batter minimum rule. But now, with Ryan as your only bona fide lefty, it's a case where you just got to send your best guy out there, regardless if he's righty or lefty, to tap those left-handers. So that's going to be an interesting development as we move further along in the season, especially with, you know, Brad Wick still a ways away. His hamstring's showing better from what we've been told, but he's still a ways away from returning.
Starting staff has been really good for the Cubs. You know, obviously, Yu Darvish and Kyle Hendricks and John Lester has been spot on as well. Tyler Chatwood was the best of the bunch for his first two starts. What did you make of his third start, where he just got hit up, he got rocked? Was it just a blip?
I think so. You know, he's still throwing hard. I just think his location was off quite a bit. His cut fastball didn't have the action he wanted. We saw in the game against the Brewers where that thing just dove low and inside and tied up the left-handed hitters, namely Yelich and Gamel. Didn't see much of that. In fact, it was, you know, floating over the middle. I think he'll regain that, and also with his fastball and curve and changeup will be below the belt level, because he just had too many pitches belt high or higher that were just too easy to hit.
No doubt about it. Lastly, Schwarber has been very good this year, very active. And a lot of people are like, hey, what's going on with Schwarber? Why is he so good? And what I have been saying is, look, we know he had a good second half last year, ended up with 38 home runs, but one thing he kind of slipped in there during the Cubs convention, way back when there was a Cubs convention, was he kind of was shaking his head over launch angle and the metrics and all that. It's almost like he just shoved that all to the side and said, screw it, I'm going to do it my way. Not that he's not being delicate, not that he's not listening to coaches, but it sounds like he found something in his own head to free him up from about the second half of the season on and leading into this year. Is there any accuracy to that he just kind of found it himself?
Yeah, it looks like he's the hitter. I mean, based on what I saw in video of how he hit at Indiana and just getting that barrel out there. And I think also he got a big hit at Cincinnati, too. And, you know, people can make what they want of launch angle. but there's something to be said for plate coverage. And if you're a left-handed hitter and that lefty tries to get you the chase outside, just take what he gives you and poke it out the left field. And that's what he did for a big hit. I mean, Harold Baines is one of the best at that. Just take what the hitter gives you. And sometimes you got to forget about launch angle and exit velocity and do what's best for the team. And that's what he did. And he got a big hit there, extended the rally. I just think he's inching closer and closer to becoming a complete hitter. He still strikes out a bit, but hey, you'll accept that if he comes through with the big hits, which he has so far.
Gonzo, you are the most deluxe. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Thanks for your time, man.
Anything for you. Take care.
All right, man. That is Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. Yeah, I remember. It was during the Cubs convention. Schwarber was on the score with Julian Maggi, and he was just saying the hell with it. With all the, you know, screw launch angle, enough with this stuff. Just get up there and do what he knows how to do. A lot, and you hear players talking about that. So, you know, block everything out. Just do what you know how to do. You know, so many voices in your head. It sounds like Schwarber is putting that to the test for real. And this is I can tell you this, getting to know Schwarber a little bit. He's a supremely confident guy. There's not been a moment where he has lacked confidence or has shrunk. He is a loud guy in that clubhouse, a happy-go-lucky guy, a guy who's got a ton of confidence and still may not have reached his ceiling yet. And that's a good thing for Kyle Schwarber, for his Cubs career. And hopefully it's a Cubs career for life, but you never know where he's going to end up or where he maxes out. It's an interesting part about Kyle Schwarber. When we return, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to dig in a little bit more on Craig Kimbrel. I want to get some voices in here about what might be going wrong with Craig Kimbrel. That is next. I'm Mark Carotti. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
What's up, Saturday? Mark Carotti on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Jordan Maley is our executive producer today, and everybody is scrambling to figure out what is going on with Craig Kimbrel. He has pitched in 4 games for the Cubs this season, 2 2/3 innings. If you add it up, he has allowed 7 runs, all earned, a couple of long balls, home runs. He has walked 5 and struck out 2. And I'm not sure what's more jarring. The 5 walks are only 2 strikeouts. He is supposed to strike guys out. And it's at the point where nobody knows what's up. He's throwing 97. He's got a curve. He doesn't have a change. Same thing Kimbrel has always been. Maybe a few ticks lower on the velocity because he used to throw a hundo. So we are officially resorting to the peripheral, to things that are sometimes out of one's control as to why he's been bad. Because he can't be this bad, right? Like, there's not enough that has seemingly physically broken down for him to have been this ineffective. So let me take you back here as we build up to this. Let me take you back to July 31st, Cubs-Pirates game. Craig Kimbrel comes in against the Pirates at Wrigley, enters with a 5-run lead. Josh Bell homers, Colin Moran homers. Everybody hits the ball hard. In that situation, even the outs were loud. Let's listen to Cubs broadcaster Jim Deshays trying to figure it out on Marquee Network.
Back-to-back pitches for home runs.
Yeah, this is one of the more intriguing situations I've seen. His resume, as good as he has been, I mean, this guy's had an unbelievable career, and he's still throwing 97 miles per hour. You know, I was thinking about him this winter, looking at his numbers. I couldn't help but think, man, maybe he's tipping his pitches, or maybe it's just a case of that there's so many hard throwers in the game now that hitters are geared up. And it's not quite as special as it used to be stuff-wise, and command becomes that much more important.
I mean, that's where we are. I mean, we're kind of grasping at straws, like, what the... He can't be this bad. There must be powers out of his control. So I totally get where Deshays was coming from that on July 31 about Craig Kimbrel. I get it. Let's, though, attempt to get a little bit more specific. Sean Marshall, the former Chicago Cubs starter and then reliever and then traded to Cincinnati. He of the Marquee Network these days. I've been seeing him do a little post game on Marquee Network. And he was today on Inside the Clubhouse on the Score today with Bruce Levine. And I heard Mike Esposito filling in for Matt Spiegel. Here's what Marshall said about what he is seeing at this point.
I just think there's a few mechanical flaws, and I was able to break them down the other day in one of the pregame shows. But I just see a little bit of rotational stuff, and pitching is all about creating direction straight to home. And when you're pitching in a spin, is what I said, it's hard to execute that release point over and over. Tommy Hotovy covered it as well, pregame talking about Kimbrel the other day. But pitching is hard enough already, but if you can't throw your best pitch, well, his best pitch is fastball, but his second best pitch is his curveball. If you can't throw either of them for strike, you run into some big troubles. And he's ran into those troubles, obviously, at the end of 19, and they kind of continued on early here. But I see some improvement. And one thing I did notice on Kimbrel's pregame presser the other day, I think he's battling against himself, you know. And this is a big market. It's tough to hear a lot of negativity about his performance. But it's going to be about him not competing so hard against himself, just competing against a hitter and just remembering how good he was. You know, he was – when he's been one of the best closers in MLB history over the past, you know, 10 years or so. Sure. And just him remembering how good he is going to help him get out of this funk that he's in. But I think the stuff is there. You know, he's still throwing 97. I think the breaking ball is there. It's a little flat. I think his arm angle is a little bit low, but he's got to get the depth, and he's got to establish that he can throw his breaking ball for strikes, and that's going to be the key for him to get back on track.
And if you are a Cubs fan, you should want Sean Marshall to be correct, because that would indicate he is fixable. You heard Marshall refer to Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hotovy discussing Kimbrel. Well, we found it too. Let's listen.
One thing as a pitcher, and I've been there, when you feel like your stuff is ticking up, you're obviously going to get more confidence to be able to attack the strike zone and do things you want to do with the baseball. So, you know, I think as we keep going, we keep putting him in those situations, keep working on the things that we want to stay focused on, and get him back to being himself and just attacking and coming at hitters, especially, you know, early in the count.
Yeah, that is, again, Tommy Hotovy. That was from July 29th on the Mully and Haw show. So these guys, man, they're all working. Everybody is working at a 10 to try to, A, figure it out, and then, B, get him right. Is it salvageable, especially in this crazy, altered, shortened, urgent season? Can you afford to do it, or do you have to just call it off? And I went back and I listened to Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer recently on the Mac and Spiegel show about a week ago. And he wasn't specifically discussing Craig Kimbrel here, but the team philosophy in a 60-game schedule is a shorter leash if you struggle. Here's Hoyer.
You know, you don't have the ability to let some things play out. You know, when you're playing 162, you can let a guy try to establish himself for, you know, 5, 6, 7 outings and know that, you know, it's going to be worth it, that you're going to reap the reward in August and September. You know, I mean, the first guy that pops in my head, you know, as an example, would be like Hector Rondon. You know, we gave him a lot of outings early on to try to let him establish himself. And some of those outings were not very good. But later in that season, he was outstanding, and he ended up being our closer for several years because we were able to give him that time. And we can't do that now. We can't give a guy, you know, a 6, 7, 8 game leash to figure it out, because there's just not enough. There's not enough baseball to be played. And that's on the pitching side. And the same goes for the hitting side, that, you know, sometimes it might take a guy 100 at bats, I know, 100 plate appearances to get into a rhythm. Well, it's hard to give a guy 100 plate appearances if he's really struggling. So I think everyone knows that intuitively, that there's going to have to be a little bit more playing of the hot hand, a little bit less patience. But that goes with playing a really short season.
That said, I mean, it might be time to cancel Kimbrel and, you know, bring him back on another network at some point in time. The viewing has not been good for Craig Kimbrel. So if they're going to keep with what Jed Hoyer just said, and that was on the Score on the McNeil and Parkin show, that might be it for Kimbrel in terms of putting him in those high leverage spots. You know, he got into the game the other night you know, when it was a blowout and it was over, and he still didn't succeed. I mean, I heard some people saying, well, this was a good experience for him. It was like he allowed a triple and two hits and a run in a blowout. So I don't know. I mean, the Cubs have won 10 games. They have one of the best records in baseball, might be the best. I haven't looked at the other finals from today. But might be time to cancel Kimbrel. And this is, too, moreover, God, I like that word. This is exactly how he pitched last year. A negative WAR last year, 0-4 with a 6.53, 9 homers, 12 walks, over 20 and two-thirds innings. Gave up some dramatic dingers to the Brewers, I remember, because I watched them from Bourbonnais with my guy Chris Emma at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bourbonnais. Love you, Bourbonnais. Cardinals hit him over the wall twice in a late September game, I remember. So, you know, three times during his 23 games last season, he allowed multiple homers in games. So it was going on last year, and then the dirty, dirty little secret is that he was actually doing that still with the Red Sox, even in 2018. He did have 42 saves, but who recorded the final out of the World Series for the Red Sox that season? It was the following, Chris Sale, striking out Manny Machado because Kimbrel struggled. You know, he was that guy that was getting into games and completing them, but driving the fan base crazy because guys were getting on base. As a matter of fact, and I think I've referenced this before, but this is from The Ringer 2 years ago during that playoff run for Boston. And Zach Cram writes, one of the best parts of Game 5 of the ALCS for Boston fans was one of the worst for casual baseball viewers. It wasn't just that Boston's 4-1 victory against Houston deprived the sport of more games between 100-win teams, or that Boston is now the favorite to win its fourth title in 15 seasons. It was that for the first time in the playoffs, Craig Kimbrel completed a comfortable save. So it was already starting to unravel then. And look, I was pro pick up Craig Kimbrel. I'm not going to pretend like I was like, oh, look, he's coming undone in Boston. I looked at the 42 saves and said, get this man. You've got some flexibility on your payroll because Ben Zobrist was out. I was like, I was down with the signing, so I am not going to regress from that. But it might be time to cancel him now if you do want to make this season real, a season which does look real for the Cubs. So, yes, Jeremy Jeffress, Craig Kimbrel, my guy Rowan Wick, get in there. Kyle Ryan did have a say, but that was a little bit wobbly. I'd prefer to see Wick or Jeffress in that spot. So, all right, I wanted to make sure I left a little time here at the end of this show because I wanted to do it earlier, but we got tangled up in a lot of, well, really good stuff, actually. By the way, the Blackhawks, if you haven't heard, they will be playing the Vegas Knights in what is considered the first round of the playoffs, a best-of-seven series. That's because Robin Leonard and the Vegas Knights won in overtime today against Colorado. So that's going to be a lot of fun. That is the better matchup for the Blackhawks than Colorado. We will let you know if we hear any kind of report on when that series will take place, the times. God, I hope we're not talking about late night starts again. That was just stupid in that qualifying series. Why so late? Don't do that to us. Some of us have to get up early. But anyway, it's
Mark,
good.
I know we
good
don't have a. I know we don't have a set date or anything for this game specifically, but it said the Blackhawks put out a blog today, and it says the first round is expected to begin Tuesday, August 11th.
Okay. All right, so that would be the next Tuesday in life, which would be, because today's Sunday, that would make that 2 days from now. Cool. So we got a couple days to preview it and talk about it. All right, now, Jordan Mailey is our producer. You just heard his voice. He has been on Les Grobstein duty. Score overnight. Yeah. Good morning. Welcome into the show. And he informed me that, hey, if you got time today, there were a couple of really amusing Les Grobstein calls that occurred. And, Jordan, I don't know, do these need any kind of setup? I'll let you take it away from here to be the master of ceremonies for these Les Grobstein calls.
So Al in Atlantic City is a regular caller to the Les Grobstein Show, and Alex would talk about his bets a lot, and this was coming off of the Hawks win earlier in the week, not the game-clinching one, but earlier in the week. And there was some dispute about what happened in the last 15 seconds of the game.
Let's go to Atlantic City, New Jersey. What's up, Al? Good morning.
Oh, long night or morning, whatever you want to call it. It started off with Vegas giving out a gift with Boston only 9 points over the Brooklyn G League team. The Celtics won by about 40, and then the Hawks with those two late goals winning. But did anybody talk? I just turned on your show. Did anybody mention the strategy in the last minute with the delayed penalty? Why wouldn't Edmonton let the Hawks touch the puck, then pull the goalie and go 6-on-4 for 50 seconds? Instead, by the time the Hawks got possession, the game only had 12 seconds left.
You're talking about in the third period?
At the end of the game, the Hawks had a delayed, there was a delayed penalty against Chicago.
No, there was no delayed penalty. It was even strength by that time.
What, didn't they call a delayed penalty and the Hawks, the Edmonton pulled the goalie?
No, that's not what happened. Not at that point. It was 5-on-5 hockey at the end when the Hawks got the winning goal.
No, but after the Hawks got the winning goal, didn't the Hawks
get
a penalty?
They got the winning goal with 1:06 to go in the game.
Right, but with 50 seconds, didn't they call a delayed penalty on Chicago?
Not that I know of.
I thought that, well, maybe I'm mistaken, but
they pulled
the
goalie because they pulled the goalie, not because there was a delayed call of anything. They pulled the goalie because they wanted to have an extra attacker out there.
I understand
Al,
that.
Al, trust me on this one.
It was a delayed call. If they let them touch the puck, they pulled the goalie anyway. It would have been 6-on-4 instead of 6-on-5. But if I'm wrong, I have to apologize.
The bottom line is at the end of the game, they pulled the goalie, but that was because they wanted the extra attacker out there after the Hawks had taken the lead.
I understand
that's
that.
That's what I just said. You want me to repeat it a third time?
No, I know what you said. They pulled the goalie. They wanted the extra attacker.
There was no penalty at that point.
There was no penalty. That's the point I was trying. Okay, if there's no penalty, I was mistaken.
You know why they pulled the goalie. You've seen it a million times. Anyway, anything else on your mind, Al?
No, I know you pulled the goalie.
Al, have a good morning. We'll talk to you later. 312-644-6767. Let's not beat a dead horse here. Al, have a good morning. We'll talk to you later.
Oh, yeah, I know about that, Les. I know about the way that we're... A 6-on-5, huh? Can you do that? Can you have a 6-on-5? I, like, often when I hear those conversations somewhere in the midst of it, I get lost.
You know why they pulled the goalie. You've seen it a million times.
Al, come on. I want Al. Al, if you're out there listening, I want you to call my show at some point in time.
Al, have a good morning. We'll talk to you later.
Al sounds very entertaining. Very entertaining. All right, so that's one. Jordan, we have one more from the Grobber.
We have another. This is actually another regular caller to the Les Grobstein Show, but we haven't heard from him in a while. And anytime Tim and Racine checks by, it's always a good time.
Good.
Let's go out to Racine, Wisconsin. What's up, Tim? Good morning.
How are you doing this morning, Les?
Doing fine, Tim. How are you?
I always say, leave a sleeping bear lie.
And that means?
Well, I'm just saying, you don't ever poke a bear when you're sleeping.
Well,
did you ever go on a bear's den once?
I don't think you're talking about the Chicago Bears. I think you're talking about...
No. I'm just saying a literal bear. You just never do that. It's just not a good thing to do. How did that guy... Hey, when you were opening up your Segway or whatever it was, well, the guy was doing... How did he say Giannis's name again? Because I laughed my butt off.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, my God. I think I cried. Hey, Les?
I think when he heard how his name was pronounced by that guy, maybe Giannis was crying by laughing so hard, too.
Well, Les, I would love you to do the games.
Huh?
Because I know you are a stickler when it comes to pronunciations and all those things. You are a stickler to that. And you know what? I would rather have a guy that's announcing a game. He might not be the best voice in the world, but he's going to get the damn name right of somebody.
That probably was not an announcer. I think that was a fan calling in that pronounced it that way.
Oh, you think so?
That's my guess.
Oh, geez. I'm thinking, oh, my God. Hey,
anybody that's good enough to call NBA games would pronounce it correctly.
Well, anyways, I'm touching on another with basketball. Now, I mean, I have the reality. I call it reality TV almost now because everything is going to be reality TV less. And this is where I go with my conspiracy. If you have reality TV. I've always thought this. I've always been thinking this because I felt like I came from another planet sometimes.
Oh, sometimes you sound like it. Sometimes you sound like you're from another planet. Good call on that one.
Well, yeah, okay, all right, I got you. All right. Oh.
Tim, thanks for calling in and have yourself a good weekend. 312-644-6767.
I think Les is, well, we know Les. Les wishes he was from Pluto. I mean, we know that. That is on the record. Pluto is a planet. I don't care about those NASA idiots. That is for sure.
I believe in Pluto as a planet. I happen to think it exists out there.
Don't get Les going. Don't get him going. I guess I mixed up the day multiple times. I've had a couple texters. Sorry, texters, I insulted your sensibilities. Apparently, I kept on saying today is Sunday. I feel like it's okay to be off by one day in these trying times, non-scheduled times in life that we exist. Like, the fact that I'm close on the day, I think is pretty good. But it is Saturday, so I apologize for apparently screwing that up. I can't even think in my head that I did that, but I did that. And then from the 708, pertaining to Grauber's first call on the pulling the goalie, the texture says, who was correct? I have no idea. I don't know. I got lost. I got lost in the midst of all of that.
It was an empty netter. And so they were called for icing. And so he thought there was a delayed penalty, but there wasn't. So Les was actually right.
I kind of thought Les was right. I felt Les's confidence in that call. He was speaking with some authority. It wasn't Les grasping at straws. So yeah, I was definitely team Les on that one. So Grauber wins the day. Yes, he does. Thank you all for listening. This show has been an absolute blast today. I can't wait to get into this Blackhawks best of seven series. The White Sox, they lose to the Indians 7-1 today. Big Sunday night game tomorrow. Bieber against Lucas Giolito. And the Cubs are supposed to play in Cleveland on Tuesday. A few days off for that team. Thank yous to Chris Ranji for coming on the show. Steve Conroyd was a part of the Solo Grody show today. And Mark Gonzalez as well. And let me not forget our man, Bruce Levine from Guaranteed Rate Field. Great show, fun show. Jordan Maley, thank you for your fine work producing the show back in our downtown Chicago studios. Hope everybody has a great rest of the weekend because it is Saturday. It's not Sunday. Talk to you later on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Al, have a good morning. We'll talk to you later.
I always say, leave a sleeping bear lie.
And that means?
Well, I'm just saying, you don't ever poke a bear when you're sleeping.
Well,
did you ever go on a bear's den once?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.